Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the latest episode of the Footmarks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, as always, is Jared Kimber, who you can find literally everywhere. And just before we jump into this podcast, I'd like everyone to know that these podcasts that we do at Good Areas are powered by our supporters on Patreon. And you can become one of them by going to patreon.com/Good Areas Podcast. And then you can enjoy ad-free content, talk to us exclusively about whatever you want to. And it's a very, very inclusive community. So I would, you know, recommend that you join it. All right then, Jared, the premise of this podcast and the topic, of course, is that hour at the Oval. And we are going to discuss the last 56 minutes of the Anderson Tendulkar Trophy, day 25 of the series, and some of the best test cricket that we've ever watched that particular hour. And it made you emotional. If I'm not wrong, it made you cry. So tell me a bit about that.
I don't think I actually cried. I think I welled up on three different occasions. I don't know if I actually followed through. But yeah, I just couldn't really believe I was there and that it was happening and that it was that captivating and exciting. And, it did. It really moved me. I was commentating. So I was on air for the whole hour. I didn't come off. And so it was a really just... I've covered a lot of cricket. I've covered some of the best moments of modern times. I've been lucky to be at so many fantastic situations. But there's something about that last hour that I think it's the best hour of cricket I'll probably ever be at the ground for. Maybe I'll see something better on TV one day, but you won't feel it the same way if you're not at the TV. Ezekiel said to me, all those people went and they only got to see an hour of cricket. And I was like, honestly, I think most people there would have paid anything if they knew that's what the hour of cricket they were going to see was going to be.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, it was just that dramatic and exhilarating. And I've seen some of your clips from the ground and, you know, some of those pictures where you're commentating and your reactions when, you know, Siraj gets the final wicket. And you can feel the euphoria. I know you personally, so I know that you generally are a pretty toned down guy unless you get really excited, right? And I could see that you have gotten really excited and even your emotions are at an all-time high. And you know, for all of us people who were watching on the telly, it was quite similar. Of course, it's not comparable to being in the flesh, but you know, you are glued to your screen. You have no idea what's going to happen next and whatever happens is going to be dramatic. So the exercise for today that we are going to do in this podcast, just to let our viewers and listeners know, is that Jared and I will go through all of those deliveries that occurred in that last final or whatever 56 minutes of play in the Oval Test and the Anderson Tendulkar Trophy. And also, it's worth mentioning that the footage is provided by NV Play, who we are very, very grateful to. And you can also check them out by going to the website. And there's a lot of fun stuff. If you're an analytics person, this might be worth your time. Anything else that you'd like to add about NV Play, Jared?
No, they're great and they support us. So please support them. If you need their any of their tools, I'm sure they'll be able to help you. But important to know that we can't show the footage.
Yes.
Because why would English cricket want people to show this and to talk about how great this moment of cricket was when they can do a highlights pack? I saw the BBC highlights package. I don't want to slag off the BBC because they're doing a highlights package, and I understand. But they showed an hour-long highlights package of this. And the first 5 minutes, if Phil Tufnell interviewing people about what might happen that day and who's going to win, this is the best hour of cricket that has happened in a test match in quite some time, right? Yeah. Why on earth do we need Vox Pops at the start? It just shows you that, like, the people online who are creating stuff, and I've seen so many things that have already been ripped off, you know, that copyright lawyers have already taken down and, you know, incredible things. Let the people make the content for you.
Yeah.
Don't try and get a producer. No producer in the world. As again, I don't want to slag off some random person at the BBC, but why on earth would you start the day with 3 minutes of Phil Tufnell talking to fans about what might happen on what is the most glorious morning of Test cricket that we have seen maybe this millennium, right? Like, don't stuff around. Like, just show the cricket, right? And here is a perfect example also of, like, this video and this podcast is something that we really like doing. We've done one or two of these before. I've done a couple with Andy Zaltzman back in the day as well. It's a really cool thing to be able to do. But obviously, it would be so much cooler if we could just show the footage
Absolutely. Like, it would enrich everyone's experience, right? And everyone's a winner. Even the ECB is a winner, right? Because people are replaying the footage.
Anyone who sees this, the Sky are a winner, right?
Yeah.
Because if you want to watch the test matches live, you have to come back to Sky. It's such a silly thing. And just the final thing I would say here is there is no better ad for test cricket than the 56 minutes of the match that were played out here. It is the best ad that you will ever see for test cricket. And they should maybe just make a decision where they allow anyone who wants to upload it in any way possible to do that.
Absolutely. And, you know, great advert for test cricket, as Jared mentioned. Just before we jump into this exercise and, you know, we'll alternate calling and commentating, I suppose, Jared, I want to ask you, there are a couple of other last hours that come to my mind, particularly in test matches in England, right? You think about the Edgbaston test of 05. That has to be right up there. You think about the Paul Collingwood, Jimmy Anderson and Monty Panesar, you know, Cardiff effort versus Australia. I can't remember the year, but where they saved that test match. And then an underrated one would be Shannon Gabriel and Roston Chase versus Pakistan. The why did he do that moment? Those were the few ones that came to mind. But I don't think any of them were as exhilarating as this particular test match because, A, the series is on the line. England can win it or India can save it. And it has had a lot of off-field drama and on-field drama. And then there's Chris Wokes for some time at one end who only has one functioning shoulder, and Siraj and Prasad Krishna are not being taken off, who are, you know, about to fall off, basically. They're about to be teared apart because their body is barely functioning at this point.
Yeah, I think it's all the different, like, you know, you could say the Ben Stokes one is so dramatic because of the way he's playing and, you know, the Kusal Mendes
one, the Headingley
one,
as well, actually. Yeah, you could count that in as well.
So there's heaps of those sorts of things. But the reason, it's funny, so I was on air with Jeremy Comey and I was saying, because he was so tense. And I said, but you literally batted in one of these before, right? You beat Pakistan in a test match where I think they needed 55 or something in the last wicket. I can't remember. It was a huge last wicket partnership. And he goes, there's just more going on here. And I think part of the reason it was more tense is because it was a combination of runs and wickets. It's not 9 wickets down and that weird 9, you know, that we got with the Muhammad Siraj and Jadeja, that sort of weird slow burn, right? Or even the Mendes or Stokes fast. It's, you've got to get through Smith. You've got to get through Overton. Atkinson swinging off his ass. Wokes is out there. Only two bowlers can throw. Akash Deep drops the ball on the boundary. Juv Jarrell doesn't take his glove off. Like, there's so many micro... Gus Atkinson, we will talk about in a bit, runs because he thinks he's hit the ball to square leg and he's actually hit it straight to mid on. Like, there are so many different moving parts and so many things had to come together to make this so close, which is not quite the case with some of those other games, I think. And I think that's maybe one of the reasons that this is so elevated. On top of that, it's a full house. And as you said, it's a defining moment in a brutally long series, right? Yeah. Like, it does have so many extra pieces that some of those other things haven't had.
Yeah, it was very, very grueling for both teams, and they left absolutely everything out there. No one had any ounce of energy left by the end of it, and that's what we want from our sport, and that's what makes Test cricket the greatest sport in the world. Like, 25 days culminate in this fashion, and we will jump right into that now without further delay. But before that, we shall be taking a short break. You guys are watching Footmarks with Jared and Behram, and go nowhere, because in just about 30 seconds, we will be talking about that hour at the Oval.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
Welcome back to the Footmarks podcast. And Jared, before you play the first clip, you know how I've always, you know, kind of wanted to be a commentator. So I'm just going to set us up a bit.
You can commentate if you want.
Before the start of play. So I'm going to put my commentator hat
on. Are you going to go do some vox pops on who might win the game?
Yeah, well, I'm going to set it up a bit, right? All right. Here goes nothing, guys.
All right.
All right, first ball of the day, and Jamie Overton has pulled it for 4. Brilliant start for England, dream start, in fact. You can breathe a big sigh of relief if you're an English supporter, and the Indian fans will be feeling the heat a bit over here, won't they, Jared?
Honestly, I thought it was over, because my view at this point was that the heavy roller had come in and they were going to get at least 20 minutes where they were going to be able to knock the ball around. India were going to try and hit the seam. The first ball from Prashant Krishna, I'm not too worried about it being a loosener or anything, but it's not, he shouldn't be bowling a loosener at all, right? He should be absolutely ready to bowl his first ball. And Overton pulls it with such ease. I was just like, oh, that's it, right? That's the game done there. And, you know, it was, I felt a little bit like deflated by it, right? Because I had hoped that we were going to see something magical. I was hoping for a tie. I'm still hoping for a tie.
All right, then. Let's go on to the second delivery. And it's an inside edge. That's going to be back-to-back boundaries for Jamie Overton, of all players, I suppose. The Shardul Thakur of England. Jared, is that an apt conclusion?
I did find it funny that, like, the one thing England learnt from India was maybe we need more Shardul Thakurs in our team. Can we do this? This isn't a bad ball, actually, because it's a little bit shorter than it looks. And so he tries to drive this and it's not quite there. And it's not that far from leg stump, right? Like, he could have easily pulled this back onto his stumps. And I felt in real time, it's like, that's gone for four. So I'm already thinking this is done. The next ball, it goes for four again. I was like, okay, it's just that day, isn't it? India, even when they do something right, it doesn't work for them.
I mean, when you need only 35 runs, sure, you don't have a lot of wickets in hand, but you've got two boundaries off the first two deliveries, plus the heavy roller, and Jamie Smith has yet to face anything. I mean, it makes complete sense that you'd be feeling that way. And here's Prasad once again, swing and a miss. So an outswinger on that occasion, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, but have a look at that ball. I'll just replay it for you just to show you. I say that and now I've clicked away from it. just to show you, look at the energy off this ball. So it beats him, but it barely makes the wicketkeeper.
Yeah.
So I'm still thinking to myself, okay, he's beaten the bat and he's got an inside edge, but there's not a lot of energy on these deliveries so far. Mm. And they're going to need a lot of energy.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't even blame them for not having a lot of energy, because Prasad and Siraj have put in a shift. The next ball is also a dot ball played to the fielder at short cover. So, Jared, here's a fun story for you.
He actually hits that one, by the way, before we get to Siraj's over. He does hit that one off his foot. So if you think about it, and we did mention this on commentary, first ball he smashes, the second ball is an inside edge past leg stump. The third ball is a player miss, and the fourth ball, he's trying to hit into covers. It does go to cover, but if you look at it again, he actually hits it onto his toe off the inside edge, and it ends up at cover. I'll show you again just to see.
Yeah, no, actually, you know what? It's not that big for me, the screen, so I can't see the toe bit, but I'll try to focus.
Yeah, you'll be able to see that. So my point really is that he does make three errors here.
Yeah, I see it now.
Right? Yeah, so he does actually make three errors. After that first really good shot. Anyway, Siraj comes on. I thought this was fascinating, what he did, but this is his first ball.
Okay, so it's an outswinger and he plays and misses. And you know what? Jamie Smith is not in control of that shot. That's quite dodgy. No.
Also, his feet are nowhere, right? Like, he's really just hanging out there. It's not exactly what you would expect.
Ah, next ball is even better. This time, Jamie Smith attempts a drive on the front foot, beats his bat. Another brilliant outswinger by Siraj. And everyone, all the Indian supporters, the Indian cricketers have their hands on their heads. And you know, you can, like, they'd probably be feeling it, because England have knocked down around 1/4 of the score already, right? Yep. In the first over. And, I mean, when it's under 30 runs, you are, as a bowling unit, thinking that, so close yet so far. But that guy, Mohammad Siraj, he clearly didn't quit, did he?
But we've now seen six deliveries, five errors from England. And because of the eight runs, I don't think we had factored that in enough. Do you know what I mean? Like, I just from the outside, we were like, ooh. But I just felt it's just going to be a day where they're just going to get play and misses. And then this happens.
All right, then. Let's see what happens over here. Mohammad Siraj to Jamie Smith. And is that an edge? It is. Is it not? Okay, then. So Kumar Damas Dharmasena is telling everyone to calm down. Here's a fun anecdote for you, Jared. I did not catch the first two wickets of this day. I was in a podcast. So I tune in when Josh Tung gets out. This is all new for me. This is all new to me. And it's gone to the third umpire now. I don't think they've reviewed it, though. I think Dharmasena himself has said it to the third umpire, no?
I love this. You picked it perfectly. That is what has happened. This is so bizarre. So It looks like an edge. You know, so you'll see it here. Watch this. Outswinger, as you said. You can see there, he pushes at it. He twists his head around. It looks like an edge. Where did he catch that, Bayram?
Like a little bit in front of his nuts.
So not in front of the ground? Anywhere near the ground?
No, I mean, it is close to the ground. It is kind of dying, but it's not like a dodgy catch or anything. It's clean as.
So why was this reviewed by the umpire?
That's also true. Yeah.
Now, and I'm going to go back to the start and show you Smith here, because there is... I've got, me and Monger have talked about this a lot already. We've got two theories on this. Let me just try and find the exact frame here. So look at where Smith is, right? He actually steps quite a bit down. It's a terrible shot, by the way. Like, yeah. Jamie Smith is never going to want to see this shot again. But he does step quite a bit down. And he also, it's hard to tell here, but he steps across. Can you see where his body is? Yep. He is slightly in front, or so I should say, between the umpire and the ball is Jamie Smith's body. So there is a possibility that all that happened here is that Kumar Damascena could not see the catch because Smith's body was in the way. But as you, I'll just play it one more frame for you here. See, that's too far, isn't it? What you can see here is how high his glove is. His gloves are off the off the ground, right?
Yep.
This is not close to the ground. This is not something we would normally review. So Square Leg must have seen this, no? Arsene Raza?
Yeah, he would have.
How is he not picking this up, that this is a normal catch? The rogue suggestion, and I like this, a friend of mine came up with this, and it's probably not true, but Kumar Damascena had such a weird match. You know, in the middle of this test match, he uploaded footage to social media of Stump Cam Mike with a conversation he had between him and KL Rahul, by the way.
Wow.
An argument that they had, which I'm not even sure why he chose it. It doesn't really show him in a bad light. So him in a good light or KL in a bad light. It just shows two people having a conversation. But
yeah, he's had his moments, hasn't he, Kumar?
Yeah. So my friend's rogue suggestion is that if you, I'll go back and play the whole thing for you again. Have a look at India's celebration here.
Yeah, right? It is a bit of a celebrity, isn't it?
Yeah. They and all go up, yeah?
Yeah, that's something that Siraj does, that we all compare him to Stuart Broad time and again, but we don't mention the celebrity enough.
Exactly. He is a bit of a celebrity. You're right. I wonder if Kumar was going to give this not out, right? And then suddenly thinks to himself, actually, maybe this is out, right? And then the best way of, but it's too late by that stage because he never raises his finger, as you called it perfectly. He doesn't raise his finger. I wonder if there is just an element here of he went, well, if we check the catch at Square Leg, they'll also check the edge. I don't know, but you could see Kumar, here he is talking to Raza, and Raza nods his head and goes, yes, he caught that. You see it, right? You just saw it happen. Yeah. He says he caught that, and Kumar's like, okay, let's just have a look at the review anyway. Why? Yeah. He's just told you it was... He didn't say, I'm not sure, did he? He nodded his head to go, yep, that was a catch. Yeah.
And this is not wrong.
Maybe I'm misunderstanding it, but
this is not a new umpire on the block. This is Kumar Damascena, who's been there for eons.
This is a man with his own perfume line, Bayram. He's got his own perfume line. But yes, eventually it is given out and you see that here you go. It's a nice healthy nick. To be fair to Kumar, the ground was so loud that if there's any day you're not going to hear an edge, and it's a good healthy edge, but it's not like a massive spike or anything.
Yeah.
It just looked out. So I'm for this end, I'm at leg slip. It just looked out the way everything about it. And we didn't know why the umpire, why Kumar didn't give it. Anyway, there you go.
Fair enough.
Now, you don't even know what happens next ball, so I'm going to let you call the next ball as well.
Anyway, Jamie Smith is walking back to the hut after scoring two. India need 3 wickets, England 27 runs. Here's Mohammad Siraj to Atkinson. It's an edge. Oh, is that a drop or has that fallen short, Jared?
Good question. I've looked at this 100 times and I'm still not 100% sure. I was the only one on our commentary team. So I think it was me, Monger, and John Norman. They both thought it was a just short. This is the only angle we have of it on MV Play.
Try to freeze the video when it happens.
So I'll show you. I have done it before and it's not ideal.
We're probably missing a few frames. But KL Rahul had quite a good... or brilliant series, in fact, in the slip cordon. So I want to say fallen short for his sake.
So yeah, it's so close. I think he's just got his fingers under it.
Yeah.
But I think you could also argue that maybe it just touches a little bit of grass on the way through. But because it wasn't a catch, we didn't get it replayed four times. We really need the side on view, don't we? Yeah. I mean, just to explain what me and Bayram are looking at, not only do we have like small frames because of the way we're playing this, it's like his hands are almost in Overton's head,
yeah,
right, on the graphics. So it's not particularly the easiest thing to pick up. But there you go. That so could have been 2-2 though.
Yeah, but that's touch and go. That's very similar to, you know, those umpteen catches that we see in Test cricket, which, you know, they go to the third umpire and there's that foreshortening thing at play and one side is ultimately pissed at the end of the decision.
I was going to say, it was probably best he dropped this because no one would have been happy with the decision here.
That's true.
Just to show you again, just have a look at Atkinson's shot here, though. It is such a bad shot. I think he was going to leave it and then he decides not to at the last minute.
And then he's like, okay, I need to go as soft as I can with these hands because I've clearly fucked up over here. Anyway, next delivery, he's played it to the fielder at mid-off. No run. Yep. Pressure is building.
But you can see now he's decided to try and hit the ball, which is a much better option for him, right?
Yes. And to be fair to Gus, he did all right. Oh, this one's interesting. I think he meant to flick that, but that's taken the... you know, leading edge and gone past the fielder at point. He should pick up two over here. He does not. Oh, yes, he does. Last minute decision to run that second run, I think.
Look at Siraj. Siraj is screaming at Jaiswal. And Kumar Dhanamasena actually tells him to settle down here. It's like, can you tell someone to settle down when they're talking to their own player? Like, I don't even know if you're supposed to. But basically what happens there is, because he's trying to flick that to the leg side, I think Jaiswal is just looking at the leg side and then suddenly realizes it's coming back. I don't think he would have caught it anyway. I don't think there's a great angle of it. But The way it happened, I just don't think that Jaiswal would have done. But there's no doubt that Jaiswal was late to move.
Yes.
To that one.
I mean, at the point where they decide that they want a second run, it's risky already. So as a fielder, you have missed that small little window, which could have forced a run out.
Yeah, anyway, but also it was in the air, right? It was in the air. So it's more the catch, I think, he's up there about. But you're right, the deep backward third as well. So there's a couple of things there. So that's the end of the first full over, because the Prashant Krishna over was only four balls before that.
Yeah. And Krishna is back now, bowling to Overton. He's defended it off the front foot. Is not looking comfortable whilst doing it.
quite a prod, I would call that one.
Yep. He looks like me defending the ball. Anyway, here's Prasad Krishna once again to Jamie Overton. Oh, he's pulled it. He's missed it entirely. And that's a really, really good piece of keeping or glovesmanship over there by Dhruv Jurel. That could have easily gone underneath his hands.
Again. Here we go. You might just see. We don't quite get the full clip on that one. He actually edges that one.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, but I'm with you. I didn't know. I originally thought he missed it or maybe it flicked his back hip, but he gets an under edge on it. He gets an under edge. The ball goes essentially over the stumps and then is short of the keeper. So it's not quite a chance, but it's halfway between two different modes of dismissal there. And he got away with that one over it. So again, remember that first pull shot he plays? Complete control. He no longer looks like that batter at the moment, does he?
Yeah. Also, can you replay this clip for me? I just want to see how well Jurel does over here, because that looked like a tough take.
It was a good take, yeah.
Yeah, just want to take a second look at the glove work over here by Dhruv Jurel. Okay, I see the under edge over here. Yeah, I mean, look, another day that goes for four, right?
Yeah. It's because of where it bounces, like it kind of bounces up that second time. And so, yeah, I think he does well to stop that one in the end.
Anyway, let's go to the next delivery. Prasad Krishna is steaming in. Overton is feeling the heat. It's a swing and a miss. Very, very poor attempt at a drive, I would say, by Overton. The feet went nowhere. And again, lucky to be out there still.
It swings a long way too. That one really dramatically swings.
But that's a half-assed drive as well. Again, looks like me. All right, Jamie Overton versus Prasad Krishna. It's a pull shot. He connects on this occasion. Will be only a single. So that's smart by Shubman Gill now. He knows that the only shot that Jamie Overton can score runs off of is the pull shot. So might as well just have some cover over there.
Yeah, and also, I think they also think he's not great at it. So they're willing to bowl it to him.
Yeah.
They've already got one edge that hasn't gone far away. So I think there's a combination of those two things, right? Of... if we can keep bowling outswingers, he'll keep playing and missing. If we give him a pull shot, there's always a chance of a top edge or a bottom edge. So, having the fielder out there means you've got an extra catcher. And if he does play the shot, like he times that last one okay, it's a four if there's no one out there, right?
True. It's a four if it's a little finer as well, right? I mean, just hits it straight to the fielder. Anyway, here's Prasad once again. Ooh, another swing and a miss. This time Atkinson with very poor footwork, going for a booming drive, no connection. And now you can see Shubman Gill. He's getting a bit horny over here, isn't he?
Well, also, it's the amount of swing they're getting, right? These balls are really swinging at this point.
Hmm. True. Anyway, here's Prasad Krishna with the final ball of the over, is it? And
Yeah,
so this one is entirely frozen for me, Jared. Again, I don't know what happened over there, but it seems like, yeah. It did seem like he got a good bit of bat on it. Yeah, so played on the offside. A better connection could have fetched him four. But this is brilliant work in the field, actually. Wow. Who is that? Who stops that four? Is it Jadeja?
That's Jadeja.
Wow. Insane.
So, the day before, I watched Jadeja move as slowly as I have ever seen him move on day four. Like, to the point at which I was like, is he injured? He was moving so bad. And as you say, that looks like four. Like, because what happens is he hits that, he times it pretty well, but he times it on the pitches. So you know what it's like in the UK? If you keep hitting the pitches, it doesn't lose any pace. And Jadeja comes from nowhere to do a huge sliding stop there. And he saves one run, which of course on any other day, who cares? But on this day is massively important, right? Like it's a really, really important. And it's a good save.
And you know, even in that also, frame that you just froze, it doesn't look like he'll get there, but he gets there. It's insane.
Really good effort, I mean, but they run three.
Yeah.
So he only saves one run.
Yeah, I mean, that's still pretty crucial when you're only defending like 35. And you'd expect that from Jadeja. Anyway, Siraj is back. Let's see what he has in store. And ooh, that's another big outswinger, right? Like Gus Atkinson doesn't really have a chance over there. He's better off leaving that delivery, Jared. Why does he even attempt the drive?
I think at this point, just to get back to their mindset, we saw with Overton that he's basically decided to play big shots. And I think when Smith goes, Overton's like, well, I have to be the batter. And so I think there's a conversation between him and Atkinson of you need to play the shots because Atkinson can hold a bat, right? Like I know he's got a test 100. He's not that good, but he does have one. And I think it's, you have to play the shots, but the ball is swinging so much that they are, and they're nervous that they're half-hearted shots. The one that Atkinson hit in that last over didn't swing, right?
Yeah.
If it swings, he would have missed that because he was miles away from the ball, right? Mm. And so you've got these sort of half-hearted shots. And when Siraj and Krishna swing it, there's no way they're going to be able to hit it. So I think they're just sort of caught between, we want to score runs, but these guys are bowling well.
Yeah. And I mean, those are good plans as well. By India.
This is the first time we see Chris Wokes, by the way, on the TV. And you can see that he's got the arm guard on his right hand and his left arm is under his jumper in the change room.
So that's confirmation that Wokesy will come out to bat if needed. And,
we all knew it was, we were told by the ECB, by Danny Rubin from England, that if the game was online, he would come out. But until you see him, you're not 100% sure.
Anyway, here's Siraj to Atkinson. Oh, so this is basically Atkinson in two minds once again. He wants to initially go for a shot and then he pulls away at the last moment, which I think is the right call.
Yeah, it was a terrible attempt. I don't know what he was thinking. He did well to get his bat out the way. I'm not even sure he left it. He just missed it with the leave.
Yeah. And next ball is, well, again, not a drivable delivery. He goes for a zero footwork drive once again and lucky to still be out there, honestly, because Siraj is really, really threatening the outside edge at this point.
Yeah. Now, really, really threatening the outside edge. Almost everything that Siraj has bowled so far in this morning has been an outswinger, right?
Yeah.
Everything we have seen so far has swung away. The previous night he was bowling at, or the previous day, really, he was bowling wobble balls at the stumps, right? Yeah. He's now beaten the bat. He's got one edge off Smith, but beaten the bat or got edges almost all the time. And why I'm pausing here is because watch what he does these next two balls.
Okay. Okay, so he targets the stumps and, they've fetched a single down to fine leg. So now he's probably thinking, why did I even attempt that?
That's what I thought at the time, but I think he was trying to get his range.
I have travelled the cricketing world, and so I've collected two things. The phone numbers of random taxi drivers and overseas SIM cards. Rideshare apps have fixed the first part, and Sally is doing the second. Now, all you need is their eSIM on whatever plan works for you. You activate it and you can use it anywhere in the cricketing world. It helps you save money. It is a global solution to a global problem. Stop fiddling with tiny sims and get the one that does it all. Go to Selly.com Good Areas and use the code Good Areas to get an exclusive 15% off your first purchase. Fly free with Selly.
Yeah. Anyway, now it's Overton on strike. Siraj with the ball. And that's what I thought would happen. There's a loud appeal. Hits Overton's pads. Dharmasena raises his finger. Okay, so I'll be honest, Jared. I don't know. I don't think I would have given that out.
It's a really interesting one. I'm going to show you the first. We saw it live. Why would you not have given that out?
Because it seems like it's doing a bit too much, and I would have thought that it's sliding down leg.
Okay. So it's a really interesting thing that happens here. Remember, Overton is a man mountain, right?
Yes.
Watch what he does. He hasn't, I don't think he's picked up that Siraj has switched from outswing to something else.
Yes.
So this is the wobble ball. You can see it there.
Yep.
Really clear. Three-quarter seam wobble ball. Uh-huh. Right? Look at where Overton is. He stepped right across. His foot's actually outside off stump a little bit. Yes. He's got a weird angled pad because he gets beaten. But his foot is actually outside that line, which means that Dharmasena doesn't get a good view of the stumps.
Yeah.
If he put his leg straight down the wicket, there's no way Dharmasena gives this out. Because if he puts his leg straight down, you would see middle and off.
You can slightly see the off stump over here, even in this frame.
Yeah, but it's just, isn't it? Like, and the bat's there and the pad's there. You're not getting a good... Yeah. No one would say that's an open view. Mm. And if you look at his foot, you're looking at it when it hits the stump. If I go back a frame here, he says, and he goes back 20 frames. But if you go back to this bit, look at where his foot is. Mm. His foot actually lands outside the line of the ball. That's how far he stepped across, right? And so when the ball is about to hit his pad, his bat is on off stump right here, and his leg is on off stump, and his back leg is even outside leg stump. So you can't see the stumps for a good amount of time here. So I don't blame Kumar Dharmasena for giving this out, right?
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure, like, if I'm assuming he reviewed this and it did show that it's clipping.
He reviewed this straight away, Bayram.
Okay.
Right? And so our original thought was he must have hit this. And then we saw it and we went, I think my exact line on side online was exactly the same as yours, is it's very leg side, right?
Yeah.
But we're definitely seeing that he doesn't hit it. So there was nowhere near the ball. So there was
Height is not an issue despite Overton being a tower. Okay, so we've got two reds. Let's see. See? I got it right. It was clipping.
It was clipping.
And then again, that's the beauty of the sport. It's still out.
It is still out. But I think that that's just a simple case of Kumar being put off by the fact. I think most umpires probably give that not out if he puts his foot straight down the line. But once you step across your stumps, the umpire has to guess where the stumps are now, right? Yeah. And he's like, oh, I think that's hit him in front of middle and off. Whereas actually, it's hit him pretty much on middle and leg, I think. And is, as you say, by, you know, I don't want to get too Ian Smith here, but by the barest of margins, right?
Yeah, well, India do win by the barest of margins towards the end as well. Six runs is nothing. It's their lowest margin of victory in the history of Test cricket. So somewhere around this time, Jared, if you go back to that day, that hour of Test cricket, somewhere over here, I joined the stream. Because I have not seen this dismissal when I watch or start watching. Josh Tung is batting. So
the other big thing here is... from the game is that Josh Tung is the first non-specialist batter, right?
Yeah.
So they've got an incredibly long tail, an incredibly strong tail, I should say. So Atkinson and Overton can both play their shots. Now you have to bat with the tail because Josh Tung is, you know, he can hold a bat. He made his first class 50 this year, actually, but no one thinks he's a batter, right?
Can he wag his tongue? That's the question. All right, then. That's actually a pretty good first delivery for Josh Tung, at least. Targeted the stump Siraj, and he's defended that actually quite solidly. That's a better defensive shot than I've seen in a bit. All right.
This is the second big moment when Atkinson denies the single here. So I'll just show you this one again.
Yeah.
So he goes short into the wicket, and he hits him on the thigh pad. There's obviously a run out there, and Atkinson doesn't want it.
Interesting. Because at this point, he can 17. Take those. Yeah, those are pretty big calls. And I mean, I probably run over there. Anyway, here's Prasad once again to Atkinson. It's a thick outside edge. One bounce, feel it by the fielder at third man. Does he run? He runs. Okay, so now I don't understand this.
I love that you're watching all this in real time, because I've now seen this six times, right? And like, I did, even when I saw it the first time, I was with you. I was like, wait a minute, what? Why did he not take the one the ball before? Also, I don't think it's mentioned a lot here, but this is, I don't think Sai Sadarshan picks this ball up well. And this is flying, right? This almost gets through Sai Sadarshan. He does really well at the last minute to realize that it's gone to his left, because there's a bit of spin on it as well.
Yeah. You know who would have misfielded that, Jared?
Liam Dawson.
Liam Dawson.
Liam Dawson dropped a catch in that same spot.
Yep. Anyway, here is Prasad Krishna once again, this time to Tong. And I think I've watched this ball. So I've officially joined the stream in real time. This play and a miss I saw.
That one doesn't move that much. That's one of the straighter deliveries that beats the bat. That's when you go, oh, Tong may not be able to do this.
Yep. So we're pretty close to that moment now where that drop six happens, right? Anyway, it's a good delivery, kind of tailing in. And he's given it, Ehsan Raza. Very, very fascinating. Would love to see the replay on that one.
So here's the thing that I think I even missed in my piece, although I did remember it. We did call it at the time, which is, this is an interesting one because England lose a run here.
Yeah.
Because this is given out, England lose a run. If this is given not out, we would have been, they take the leg by. But because it's given out, England get a run that is taken off them, and that run is not given back to them when the decision is overturned. So,
which is why, Jared, I remember we discussed this on an Uncovered podcast one of these days. One of the many days where we've podcasted. And we mentioned how the best possible solution to this would be for the umpire to wait till the run is complete and then give the decision.
Yep.
But that doesn't happen over here.
It does not happen. So it's given out LBW, and you can see Wokes is looking around because he's wondering if he's going to come in. But this is the one where when you see it coming back, you can see straight away that it's not going to be out, because Josh Tung stands really leg side of the ball. It's actually probably the way he batted in this innings, very hard to get him out LBW because he's so leg side of the ball almost every time. I'm just seeing, what have we got here? Here we go. Yeah. So look at how much you can see middle and off stump here, right? Yep. And it hits
him. Oh, that is not out.
Yep. It is
so not out. It's really funny, Jared. If you look at the last test match, the previous one at Old Trafford, Ehsan Raza has the game of his life. And at the Oval, it's a polar opposite for him, right? He gets so many of these decisions wrong.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said he had a terrible game. But yeah, I mean, he was so good in the last one. Yeah. But it's not just missing for leg. Have a look. It also, I don't know if they ever showed this, but we only ever saw one angle. It appears to be going over as well.
Yes, it is quite high.
Right then. Not out. And they've lost a run. Remember, England have now lost a run.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Anyway, it's Josh Tong once again versus Prasad Krishna. It's a Yorker. It's a big appeal. And the finger stays down on this occasion.
I was watching
confused.
This. So from this end, I'm at slip. I'm at like mid-off, sorry, I should say. But a very fine mid-off. I thought this looked great from my viewpoint originally. But it was given not out, and it is, you can see, I'll show it to you again, but you can see it is actually, again, because he's standing so far down the leg side, it's actually just going down the leg side. He has a really open stance. So his leg, his back foot is kind of on leg and middle, but his front foot is like outside leg at times.
Is he a WG Grace fan? I suppose. Anyway, Ehsan Raza probably like realizes there's a mistake from the previous delivery, and that's why he doesn't raise his finger over here. Okay, left on this occasion by Josh Tung. The ball doesn't do much. This is a very straight delivery by Prasad. And the next one is cut away for a single.
This is Siraj now. So Siraj comes on.
Siraj comes on and Atkinson cuts it away. Again, does he run? Does he not run? He runs.
So, I don't know, dude. I don't know what's happening. I don't know if they just changed their plans or what the situation was, but Tung is back on strike.
Yep. And he has five deliveries of Siraj. The first one is another booming outswinger. Moves a mile on that occasion, and he's just lucky that it missed the bat by a fair bit as well, because a half-hearted drive.
I haven't freeze framed this,
yeah,
but I wonder how much he misses this by.
A lot, at least like another set of stumps, I would say. Yeah, look at that.
It's like 2.5 stumps. I'll give Josh Tung the extra half a stump also, there. But he's missed that by a long way.
What is Josh Tung doing, like, coming on the front foot versus that delivery? Have you not been watching Siraj's bowling, like, when you were in the dugout or dressing room? It just doesn't make sense. If anything, I'm sitting back and trying to hit this over the slips.
It's probably too full. I don't know. I just think, to be honest, he's not made to hit this ball, is he, as a human being? Like, that's just not his skill set.
Definitely not as a tongue. Oof! Now that is a proper jaffer. That is a corker of a delivery, would have gotten rid of many top-order bats or some of the best in the world, and Josh Tung has somehow managed to evade the outside edge on that occasion. That's
not get
one.
Bowled. Yes. It's actually, if you look at it, I think Siraj there... Oh, wait, is that the right one or have I gone the wrong one?
Yeah, I think you have got the right the one. No, this is the next one.
Yeah. If you look at it, he's going for the bold, I think, as much as anything, and it swings too far. I think he's going for the magic delivery where he's hoping for an edge or the outside of the stumps. Hmm. And it swings too much. And poor Josh Tung is just a victim.
This one gets Crawley out, for sure. Anyway, this one is a good length delivery. Defended actually quite comfortably, I would say, for Josh Tung standards. And it's been fielded by the slippers.
It is. Okay. You're right. He actually middles this onto the ground and it ends up at slip, I reckon. There's nothing wrong with it. It looks bad because slip comes around to take it. Mm. But I actually think he did a good job on that ball.
Yeah. It's a pretty decent effort anyway. Here is Siraj once again. Josh Tung to face. Okay. I like it. Josh Tung is doing a job out there and he's looking more comfortable than Jamie Smith did.
Yep. And both of those are off the middle as well, right?
Yeah. Like, this one is proper front foot defense. Like, I really like that shot. Okay. And now he gets another magic ball. Literally, I think it probably, like, there's a whisker between that and the off stump. Has to be.
Yeah. So, you know, no one, top order players. So he faced two balls in that over the top order players would have struggled with.
Yep.
I thought he did well. But if I'm Atkinson, I also can't let him face it again, can I?
Yep. You're definitely very, very scared that, okay, we've gotten lucky over here. Wokesy can't bat. So... All right, that's over. And Prasad Krishna is back.
Yeah, and this first one, you can't quite see it, but it's hit down to long off, sort of miss hit. So they've got the field out, obviously, for Atkinson at this point.
Hmm. Which makes sense. Okay, this is Prasad Krishna to Gus Atkinson. And it's been kind of just nudged away on the leg side. He denies the single. So now we're back to plan A.
Yep. So both balls. I think, to be fair to Atkinson, he made that decision based on the last over, didn't he?
Yes.
Where he's looking at Tung and going, he just doesn't. It's not that he's batting poorly. He just doesn't have the skills to do the thing that he needs to do.
Yep. And the next ball is, again, defended on the offside. He started to look a bit more comfortable now, Gus Atkinson, but he's not taking those singles.
Isn't it funny that you look more comfortable when there's no catching fielders around you? Everyone's out on the boundary. You see this so often in cricket, where suddenly it's like, I do feel comfortable. A minute ago, everyone was around me. If I made a mistake, I'd be out. Now it's like, I've got two slips and no one else. I can hit the ball anywhere I want.
Yeah, anyway. This time he goes for a audacious pull shot. Doesn't get much bat on it, but does run the single. It's fielded by the fielder at long on. And oh, it's a misfield. No overthrows. They do not go for the other run. Interesting.
So let me take you through this, because this angle doesn't show you the genius of this ball. Uh-huh. It isn't a long on, which is one thing you won't know from where you were.
Yeah.
Siraj was about maybe not even that. He was about halfway to the boundary. So he was deep, but he wasn't all the way back.
Okay.
So Atkinson tries to hit this to square leg. Look at where his head is facing, right? Heath looks up then. It's hard for you to see on that frame. But he looks up because he's like, did I sky it? He keeps looking towards square leg for ages. But as you said, the ball does not go to square leg, right? Yeah. But Atkinson still calls yes, right? Now, look at Tung. Has Tung run?
Very late.
Yeah.
Even though he had Tung a better sight of the ball.
Because Tung realizes that the ball's gone straight to Siraj. And he's like, this is the one we're taking? Why are we running on this one? Right? Siraj picks it up. It should be worth mentioning that the rain had come on and off. There would have just been a little bit of drizzle during this over. And so Siraj picks up the ball and he throws it with all of his power. I don't think he would have run him out anyway, but the ball slips out of his fingers. So Jarrell's ready for the run out and Jarrell ends up meters away.
Yep.
But when you said there was overthrows, look how far Tung runs through.
Yeah.
Tongue's like 15 meters through.
Gus Atkinson is halfway down the pitch and Josh Tung is basically... And I don't blame him either because he's thinking, oh shit, this isn't a run and I have to somehow make it.
Exactly. The reason that Tung has run through is because he was almost run out by Atkinson, who didn't know where he'd hit the ball. This is genius level cricket from everyone involved. Five stars, no notes. Big fan of all this. I absolutely loved watching it live because for a minute you've got the batter making a mistake. Hmm. The tail ender also making a mistake. The fielder misfields it. Then there's overthrows on off. It just everything happened and you're just like, this might be the best hour of cricket I've ever seen. And now I'm seeing comedy capers.
Yeah, well, is that like a goalkeeper stop by Dhruv Jurel though? I can't quite see in my frame.
Well, he doesn't stop it.
Oh, he doesn't stop it. Fair.
Yeah, it goes flying past him. It was lucky that they had a fielder behind there.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking. Anyway, England are at 357 now. They require 17 runs, if I'm not wrong. And they've got two wickets in hand. This is the over, isn't it? This is where the fun happens.
No, that's the next over. So Tung misses this first one, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah,
I think that's the last ball of this over.
Yeah. That's a good delivery. It doesn't do much, though.
Oh, sorry, there's one more in this over. So
okay.
Oh, yes. Sorry, you're right.
This is the over.
You are exactly right. This is it. So I just want to show you this again. Look at what Prashant Krishna is doing here, right?
Mm-hmm.
He wants someone all the way back on the boundary. And then what shot does he say?
What shot does who say?
What's Prashant Krishna? What shot does he say here?
I can't quite make out. Oh, does he say ramp?
Hook shot.
Oh, hook shot. Okay.
So he's put the field back for the hook shot, right?
Yep.
He's now... gestured a hook shot.
Yep. Let's see.
Shall we?
What we have in store over here.
Apparently we have nothing because it doesn't want to play.
Yeah. When you are commentating for TalkSport, you have a screen in front of you as well, right?
No.
Okay.
Not on the outdoor ones.
Interesting. Okay, so it's a fuller length delivery and that is a Yorker. So he's basically just played mind games over here. Prasad Krishna, and he's hit the base of the stumps of Josh Tung. So that's brilliant stuff. And they've done this a few times. You think about the Zach Crawley dismissal at the end of day four, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or was it day four? I can't even remember days were.
Who knows? Yeah. I don't know what days. Day three? Mm. Day three.
Day three. I think it was day three, yes. Yeah.
It's probably not a Yorker either. It's just a half volley, but he's just not ready for it, right? As I said, he sets up weirdly as well. Because he sets up on leg stump and then facing mid-wicket, he's kind of already in the wrong position for a ball like that. And then he misses it. And
anyway,
so number 11 has to come out.
Voxie is coming out to bat. When this happened, we were all like literally like we were initially sitting on stairs, myself and Saad and another colleague, Mahin. And now we're on our feet. We're like, holy shit, Chris Voxie is coming out to bat. He's got one hand in his jumper and he's not even like looking very comfortable walking down those stairs, is he? Like he grimaces throughout.
If you've ever had a broken arm, anyone who'll have a broken arm or dislocated arm or whatever it may be will know this, that basically the stairs just vibrate the arm. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, because you can't hold the arm still, right? Especially even more for him because he's got a bat in the other hand. Mm. So you just end up vibrating the arm and it, you know, so he would, and there's a lot of stairs. There's like the original stairs to get down. Then there's the long stairs all the way down. Like any cricket ground has a bunch. It's interesting that they didn't get him to sit in like a dugout or near the boundary where he could have walked down slower. But they made that decision. I'm not having a go at them, but that looking back on it probably would have been better.
Hmm. Anyway, now India are one run away. England still requires 17 runs. And luckily luckily for England, that was over, right?
Yep.
I mean, what if Chris Wilkes had to face a delivery?
It's one of those things that, as I said, this is probably my sixth time watching this. It wasn't until like the third or fourth time I went, how lucky that was. Like, and I hadn't factored it in because who knows if he can even face a ball, right? Like he's going to bat left-handed with one hand. Batting left-handed is going to be tough enough for him. And now he's got to do it left-hand. Good luck.
Yeah. Anyway, here is Siraj to Atkinson and we have got a technical... difficulty delay.
Oh, they've all died on me. Here we go.
Okay, now I think we're back on. And Siraj is steaming in. Is he?
Yeah.
Have we missed a delivery? We have missed a delivery, Jared. Go back.
Oh, wait, sorry.
We've missed the delivery. Here's Siraj. Atkinson has a swing at it.
Wait, we missed two deliveries.
Oh, we missed two deliveries?
Because the ball before this, that's why there's a glitch in our MV play. The ball before this, it's a full ball outside a stump, and he's going to slug sweep it, and then he pushes it on the offside. So now you can call this delivery.
All right, then. 17 runs required. Gus Atkinson facing. Siraj teaming in. He's gone down on one knee, and he struck that all the way for... Oh, is it? It's not a catch. It's a six. Akash Deep has done a Siraj and a Trent Bolt. And wow, at this point, if you're an Indian fan, you're thinking, are the gods against us, right? Because this happens yesterday when Siraj dropped sixes Harry Brook, and now it's happened again, although you'd have to say this was a touch hard, right? Like, this is a good effort that he just gets his hands on it. But should he be all the way back at the boundary, Jared?
Ross Taylor couldn't see at night or when the clouds were in. Eventually, he had to see an eye specialist who would fix his eyesight. In the 2 years before the change, he still averaged more than 50 in international cricket. The top level of batting talent can basically see in the dark. That is who we are talking about in our new book, The Art of Batting. Head over and order your copy today. Wow. If he's all the way back in the boundary, does he not just catch this? So he is, what, 10 meters in from the boundary, 15 meters in from the boundary?
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's in the right position. But the funny story about this is, because I was on commentary, I was calling this, he was at long off.
And okay.
I think Siraj was going to bowl outside off stump, outswingers, and they were like, the most important fielding positions are on the offside. And so Jadeja was at long on, and they switched Jadeja with Akash. Now, people who aren't great fielders, and Akash is certainly not a great fielder, sometimes get themselves lost in position. So it's possible he got lost here, and that's why. Do you remember the famous one in the World Cup semi-final when the Pakistani fielder is in the wrong spot for Marcus Stoinis? That's a perfect situation where the fielder's just wrong. He just got it wrong.
Yep.
Is this wrong, or did they say come in 10 meters to make sure they can't run two? I don't know, right? All I know is I'd rather have Jadeja doing all of this. But also, look at where he jumps from here, right? He is actually like, he's about 12 meters away from the boundary when he jumps, but he still ends up on the rope, Bayram. It's ridiculous. He's kind of jumping directly back rather than up.
All I'll say is, Jared, that he could have caught that ball, Akash, in the deep.
So anyway, he makes a mess of this. I'm not blaming him. He was exhausted. He had a bad shoulder. He wasn't expecting to have to jump up and back. Yeah. Even Siraj, well, a few times Siraj is yelling at everyone, but the fact it goes for six as well is massive, right?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, you're thinking, all right, we already had a lot of drama. We were high on drama, right, in this entire test series and on this day, and now that's just been multiplied by 10. Now it's gotten like crazy, and if India lose this from here, then that is just, I don't even know how you package those emotions, right?
It's two hits now, which for England, maybe for a normal cricket team doesn't matter, but for England that matters, right? Two hits to win is very different, and you know, Atkinson is sweeping these balls.
Yep. Anyway, Siraj probably wants some revenge at this time, and I mean, he doesn't want to lose this test. No one does, even Atkinson, even though I think he's probably feeling the heat. He's thinking now, two hits, right? So let's see what he has in store. All right, this is a one-handed pull shot. Falls in no man's land. They should be running two. They run zero.
I don't think they could have run two with Woke. So. And even then, I think it goes directly out. Oh, I just want to show you one thing, though. This gets hit in the no man's land, as you say. But you can see that Siraj is running after. I don't know if I just caught that on the frame for you. There he is.
Yeah.
Hey? He's like, I'm going after this on my own. It's like, dude, we just want you to bowl. We don't need you at mid-wicket fielding this ball. And I don't know if it's because it went in the air and he's like, maybe I've got a chance of catching it. But it made me laugh so much that he went after that.
Yeah, that is hilarious. Anyway, 11 runs to get for India. That's just one wicket. So, you know, the game is still in their favor. And this one is a fuller-length delivery. Trickles down to the fine leg fielder. They still do not run. And I mean, you understand that because it's tough with Chris Wokes out there. You don't want him to be facing any deliveries. Full toss missed. So this is the one that he really could have gotten a hold of, Jared.
It is. It's also the second delivery in the entire summer that Siraj bowled more than 90 miles an hour.
Yeah, well, and that's coming off of like, or after what, 28 overs in this innings? Something like that? 29?
More than 1,000 balls in the series.
Wow.
So I just think he beats Atkinson for pace here if you watch it again. But you're right. It is there to be hit, especially because Atkinson's shot is the slog sweep, right? If he had got down low for that, He probably, and you know, he had a big chance, but he tries to stand up and hit it and really should have been bowled, shouldn't he? It just misses.
Is there any fielder at fine leg for that delivery?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, then he's not ramping it. He probably doesn't know how to do that anyway.
I was going to say, I'm not sure that he has that as a shot.
Yeah.
Is this the last ball of this over? Yeah, this is the last ball of this over. So this is what Monga told me. And I've watched the replay a couple of times and I haven't been able to see it. So Monga and I commentated the first half and then he went off and me and Jeremy did the second half. So I don't know exactly. I haven't been able to fact check this, but Monga's not usually wrong about these things. Apparently, Siraj says they're going to run a bye. Right. So instead of bringing all the fielders up, they decide to keep them out so they can't get an extra boundary and get closer.
This was the interesting one, right? There are two such instances. One is when they run a bye, and I'm sure that'll come up with the run out is missed. And then there's one where he just taps it down to mid-on and runs an easy single.
We'll get to that in a minute.
One. Yeah.
We'll get to that in a minute. There's something else that went on that a lot of people missed, and I was lucky enough to be able to see the replay. So I'll explain that one. This one, what happens is, apparently Siraj says to Gill, tell Dhruv to take his glove off, right? Mm. Gill gets back to his position, and as he's getting back to his position, Siraj starts to run in, right? And so apparently there is no conversation between Gill and Siraj. Now, that's what Monga told me, but if you look at this footage here, Gill is next to Siraj. Gill is next to Dhruv. So it's possible that Gill did tell him, right? And that Dhruv didn't have time to take the glove off. Or it's possible that Dhruv was like, because the other thing you can see here, this actually, he's lucky to get away with this, Dhruv. He's walking up. You're not allowed to walk up as a wicketkeeper. Now, obviously, most wicketkeepers will take a step or two because that's the normal way they get into their position. But he comes up quite a bit. So Dhruv in his mind is thinking, I need to be as close to these stumps as possible to do the underarm. And then obviously Siraj then bowls this perfect wide Yorker.
Yeah. So at this point, from Siraj's perspective, you either go short or you go for the wide Yorker. And when you go short, you have more of a chance to run a bye as a batter, right?
So, yeah. But the other thing was short. I think there's two reasons he didn't bowl short. Because if Atkinson's swinging completely here, a top edge goes for six.
True. But then it's also the final ball of the over. He doesn't want to hit a six, does he? He wants to get a single.
Yeah, but if you see a bouncer, okay, even if he doesn't hit a six, what if he gloves it over the top of the keeper and it's four?
True, that's so also fair.
I understand that. But anyway, you will see that Jarrell has a pretty good chance of hitting the stumps. He's come up, he's got set, he's done everything right, but he misses the stumps by about a foot and a half.
Yeah, and if he does hit the stumps, I'm pretty sure Wokes hasn't made his ground. And now we know, Wokes, like, we won't see this in NV play, but this goes on for like 5 minutes now. Wokes is in pain, the umpires are having a chat, and... you know, the game is still on a knife's edge.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the one that has the big break. I think the big break is next over. But you can see here the ball's basically next to the stumps from our angle. And Wokes is, what, a meter short, I would say, at that point. So, yeah, would have been run out.
Absolutely. Anyway.
But now we've got Prasidh Krishna. I think this is the one that you're thinking of. But that last one, there was a little delay as well. Because this is, I was talking to Robbie about this. Robbie thinks I still have stress, a post-traumatic stress from my arm. But my big thing was that Wokes could fall over. Because it's actually very hard to run holding a bat in that, not that normal hand that you run in. And then not be able to use your other arm. So I was more worried, especially on this one here, that there would be a two.
Yeah, so it's a full toss by Prasidh Krishna. Again, kind of misses out Gus Atkinson. Good work in the deep by, who is it? Was that Jadeja again?
That was Sai Sudarshan, that
one.
Oh,
that was Sai Sudarshan. And
off
they've
the
run
bat,
two.
I thought that was four, honestly.
Yeah, but honestly, like, it wasn't as quick a delivery, so you could say that he has missed out an opportunity to go for a big one.
Yeah, that was the full toss you want, isn't it? The top of off stump, it's in your swinging arc, like a baseballer. Absolutely. Great work by Sai Sudarshan to not only stop it, but also to make sure his feet don't hit the rope.
Yes, and we've seen how that has been an issue for a few in this test match. But anyway.
And this is where the big delay is. I think we also miss a ball here. I think there's another glitch on MV Play, and I think we missed the delivery here. But that was where the big delay, and you see Atkinson, Asan Raza, and Wokes all trying to work out how to fix Wokes's arm.
Yeah.
And it's very rarely do you see umpires ever help out, but I think Asan Raza actually holds his helmet or something at one point. It's very rare that you see that. But I think he was just like, well, so if we don't help him, it's just going to take longer.
But anyway, we've seen some... interesting little bits of play over here. First, there's that bye that they run. Then they run a double, which could have been a boundary, but good work by Sai Sudarshan. So now it's just 8 runs that England require. And if you're Indian, you're thinking, oh shit, we're going to lose this, aren't we?
This is where I think Atkinson just decides to just swing through the line. And they, I think, no, this is not against Prasin Krishna, but because he bowls slightly back of a length, he gives Atkinson a little bit of length to play with. And I think if Atkinson had hit one of these, it would either have been a six over the keeper's head or it would have been straight up in the air. There's no way. We'll show you. I'll show you. You tell me what you think. But
yeah, again, look, it's fine margins over there. You can't really say what happens if he does get any connection on it, but a top edge for six is very likely. Like, it's definitely one of the things that could happen. And there's that guy who became so famous, who's now become a meme, the Englishman who has his head in his hands or hands on his head. And, you know, I'm thinking to myself when I'm watching this live is that, sure, I understand you want to, you know, kind of end this as early as possible because Wokesy is basically, you know, he's not there, even if he is. But then again, Gus Atkinson is better than just wildly swinging, you know?
Yeah, I do think the Wokes thing at that point. I'm okay with Atkinson doing this. He's thinking, I'm going to swing as hard as I can six times. Yeah. And if I make contact twice, we win. Hmm. Right? Like, that's probably what he's thinking. I've never been... I have a couple of times. I've only been in a couple of situations where, like, the guy at the other end can't help me. Right? Yeah. Like, and I'm batting with a number 11 or even a number 10 who I just know can't make any runs. You do, it does mean that you just have to, you probably play slightly more to that, the guy at the other end than you would normally. I think Atkinson sings the ball fine. You're right, but I don't think he's particularly wrong in the way he's going about this because he's swinging so hard. As I said, I do think it is kind of six or out in this over.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, so, and, If he hits one of these off the middle, which I don't think it was possible for him to do, but if he did hit one of those off the middle, it would have gone. My only argument is, I don't know if it's this one. Yeah, that's the full toss outside off stump.
Yeah,
is that a slower ball maybe?
It wasn't an easy one to kind of just swing through the line unless you were going down, like literally like over the bowler's head. So you need a golf swing, not a baseball swing for that one, I suppose.
Yeah, I think it's this one that I'll show you twice.
Okay. Yeah, so this one is actually an outswinger. At least it's shaping away, past the outside edge of the bat to the keeper. And I feel like then again, this is where I'm thinking, Gus, cut it, right? Cut the ball for four.
You're right. And I think me and Jeremy said this on air as well, which is if he knew this was what the ball was going to be, there's a very fine third. It's hard for you to see. You can kind of see someone there. But they had a second third as well. He could have, though, just because of where the ball was, steered that and taken the pace of... Because Prasin Krishna's bowling really fast now. I mean, good on him because he wasn't when he started today. He's bowling really fast. He could have done that and tried to pick the gap and see if he could get a two. The problem with that is he was not expecting a short ball outside of stump. And so I think there is an element of he is disexpecting a ball at the stumps or in the slot. And so he's in the wrong position. So you're right, but I'm not having a go at him. Here's the ball that I wanted to bring up with you before that you talked about, which is the second single that they steal.
Yes. Yeah. Right? And before that, I just want to say that ultimately, even if you think I'm being critical over here, we all do have to remember that this is Gus Atkinson, right? We're not talking about Joe Root or anyone else, you know? So you cut him some slack over there, I suppose.
The other thing that I would say on this one is this was called, I think, on Sky and on BBC. I don't know about Geo and some of the others. This was called as Prasin Krishna gets this ball wrong.
Well, right? This is the one that he nudges on the leg side for a single, right? Yeah, so it's literally just tap and run, but there's no one at mid-on to cut the single, which is what shocked me a bit at the time. I was like, what is going on over here?
Well, all the fielders are still back, but I want to show you something that I think is quite interesting. Look at where... So Atkinson's on middle stump, right, to start that ball. When it comes down, I'm just trying to freeze it for you. He's still on middle stump when the ball's about to be bowled. Agreed?
Yes.
Where is he after the ball is bowled?
He shuffles. He shuffles past off stump.
Yeah. And so this is a wide Yorker. It's maybe not quite as wide as Prasin Krishna wanted it, but there's two reasons for that. One might be that he saw Atkinson move.
Yeah.
And he might have thought, oh, actually, maybe I can go straighter now. Or the other reason he might have done this is just because Atkinson had already moved so much. He's like, I don't want to bowl a ball too wide and bowl it off the crease. So it's just worth remembering that, like, when you watch that live, you're like, why is he bowling it straight at him and he can just get a single anywhere? That's not exactly what happens here. And it's one of those things that I didn't pick up on the first replay of live. None of the commentators did. You haven't just there.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things that we remember the single. Hmm. And as you say, they still don't have the field up. And yeah. I can understand why. Wokes really struggles on that single.
Yep.
And here we have the last ball. Hmm. Come on, Bayram. Give it all your right, all. Then.
After that intelligent squeeze for one, down to mid-on, Gus Atkinson is on strike for the Mohammad Siraj over. England are one hit away from tying this test match. Jared, we've only had two tied test matches in history, so this could be a very, very special moment. But then we've got Mohammad Siraj on the other end, who's been an absolute warhorse in this test match. Let's see what he can deliver. He's steaming in. Atkinson is facing. It's a full toss. Who cares? He's hit the off stump and he's knocked it back. Mohammad Siraj does the Cristiano Ronaldo celebration, and India have won a 6-run thriller at the Oval to square the Anderson Tendulkar Trophy by a margin of 2-2. Wow. Nailed
that. Incredible, isn't it? You called the full toss as well. It's incredible how many people think the Josh Tung wicket and the Atkinson wicket are Yorkers. And it's like, they are not Yorkers. I'm not even sure it bounces. It's hard to tell because there's a missing frame on the MV play. And I don't know if I had a look at it anywhere else. But I'm not sure it bounces. I think it just hits the base of off stump, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just incredible. And that's it. Do you feel any differently now than you did before having rewatched this? I know you hadn't seen everything before.
So I didn't watch the two Jamie dismissals, right? Yeah. So I wouldn't have known what happened then. And I started watching when this Tung and Atkinson partnership was ongoing. But Jared, of course, when you are watching a game live and you're not calling it, you aren't watching the game with such precision as you are when you are doing this NV play thing. But of course, we had our observations, all three of us who were watching. This was, of course, a different experience. And then you having, you know, picked up on all those nitty-gritties, obviously, like, kind of changes things for me.
It's also for me of when you're commentating, especially on radio, you are so wired to every single individual moment because you don't want to miss something that's really important to paint the audience. They can't see, right?
Hmm.
So you are, you know, this is happening and this is happening. And then, you know, people like me and Monger and Jeremy Coney are hyper vigilant people anyway. That's the sort of humans we are, right? We're always noticing little things as people. Hmm. You know, not less so John and Manus, only because when you're calling the ball, you have to be a little bit more regimental with what's happening with the ball and everything else. But even Manus is like that, and John has an element of that as well. So you've got five people in this sort of hive mind over an hour trying to pick up every little thing. But we don't have a TV replay, right?
Yes.
We don't have access to stump mic on this particular test match. I don't think we had it. I think we had it for some test matches and not for other. You know, all these different things that we don't have. But it means that as a group, we're like so on top of it of like, what is happening here and everything else. And two of the best pieces I think I've ever written have been because I've been on commentary for a moment like this. The other one that I remember is the I think it was actually there were two of them in the 2013-14 South Africa series, Australia-South Africa, when Ryan Harris takes the wicket when there's nothing left in his knees, right? That was a piece I wrote about Ryan Harris. But the other one was when Dean Elgar took the wicket when everyone thought day five was going to be washed out and Australia just had to make it through the end of day four and Dean Elgar takes the final wicket. I was on air for like an hour and a half, me and Jim Maxwell there. And it's exactly the same thing. You have to be on top of it. And so it's very different than if I'm watching it as a journalist or if I'm watching it as a fan or anything else. And so that's, I think, when we're talking about the emotion beforehand, it's me trying to pass all this sort of thing that is happening. And I'm seeing so many extra things that other people can't see because I have to because of my job, that it just takes you to another level. And that's why, I mean, I would love to think that I will have a better hour of cricket. Obviously, I was there when Carlos Brathwaite did his thing. I was there when Ben Stokes did his thing a couple of times. You know, I was there when Sri Lanka drew a test and then stole the test, the very next one. You know, I've been there for some incredible moments. But for all the different stuff in this one, I just can't imagine that I'll ever see something better. And if I do, it's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, I've mentioned this now quite a few times on multiple podcasts that it was an incredible, grueling, enthralling, exciting, you know, all of those adjectives sort of series, which you really were hooked onto, not just for the on-field drama and cricket, but also the off-field stuff. And then it kind of culminates in this fashion, which is sort of poetic justice, right? Like, it is fitting that the series ends in the way it does and that the scoreline is level and neither team wins it, which I thought was apt. And it's just like, you know, obviously, karma might not be real, But you just like to think that all things considered, any other scoreline would be unfair. At least that's from my perspective, you know?
I've never felt a more unanimous feeling from the opposition fans than England fans. There was obviously a couple of fans who were upset and everything, but so many England fans, I talked to a few of them after the game, England press, everyone was like, I was talking to one of the guys from the tabloids, and I've forgotten his name now, but he's a really nice guy. And he just said to me, if it wasn't 2-2, it would have felt like we were ripped off a little.
Yeah.
Like, this was a series where it felt like it should have been 2-2. It should have come down to that. And, you know, maybe the better thing would have been that if it had been 2-2 coming into this and this was to win the series, maybe that's even more. But I think England fans, England press were like, it just felt like India gave up chances earlier and England did everything right. And then the last 6.5 days, India started doing that and pulling themselves back into situations. And so, yeah, I think morally, Bayram, and that's the only way to look at cricket in this baseball era, it should have been 2-2.
Yeah, I suppose so. Although some people would argue that in India have had the moral win in the series, but then other people would argue the opposite, right?
I think India had the moral win. If you're 2-1 down and you have to bat for 2 days and you end up 2-2 away from home, that's a moral victory. That's a proper, this isn't one of those crappy baseball moral victories no one gives a shit about, right? This is a proper moral victory here in that they could have lost this series 4-1.
Yes.
Right. And they've ended up 2-2 away from home with injuries, with Bumrah not playing in the last test, you know, with literally, they got their selection wrong here. They only picked three seam bowlers, right? Mm. Like, they almost killed their three seam bowlers to win this test match.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, they made some errors and they still pulled it out. I think that's a moral victory without any doubt.
And you know what's even more important, Jared, is in the process, they got their hundreds as well. All right, then. On that note, I suppose we shall end this episode of the Footmarks podcast where we discuss that hour at the Oval as it happened. And I mean, I had a lot of fun doing this. Honestly, you got to commentate on this in real life and I got to do it over here on NV Play. But let us know if you guys enjoyed this sort of content. We've done this before for the Web of Suryavanshi Knock and we want to kind of continue with it. But we'd absolutely love to hear your feedback as well so that we know, you know, and we give you what you want, I suppose. And
Big shout, just one final shout out to NV Play because it's very hard for us to do this if we get the full stream of the cricket. Mm. Because it's much easier with the clips because we can just press a button and go back and watch the same ball over and over again and everything else. It's so, you know, and they make my job so much easier. For anyone who liked the, you know, the 56 minutes of Test cricket piece that I did and the video and everything else, I would have done the same piece without MV Play. It just wouldn't have been as good. And that's, you know, a huge testament to their platform and everything else and their partnership with us.
Absolutely. Also, just a quick reminder to all of you guys can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage. That can prove to be your one-stop shop for all the fun work that we do as part of our team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. And, of course, all of our podcasts on Good Areas, they are powered by our supporters on Patreon. You can become one of them by going to patreon.com/goodareaspodcast, and then you can talk to us exclusively, slag us off, give us recommendations, and also enjoy some ad-free content as well. There are lots of perks. It's a very inclusive community full of cricket nerds. So yeah, that wraps this up. Have a good one, guys. We will be giving you constant content on Good Areas. You'll have pretty much a podcast every day or 6 times a week. And yeah, we'll see you soon enough. That's all for now. Have a good one and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bayram Kazi and Estelle Vassadevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, oh, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.